Hey, I'm going to continue the Pressing On series, part three. Don't quit until you win. Now, I'm going to tell you a little funny story. If you ever played with my dad, he called it aggravation, I think, but he called it doogies. Anybody ever play with Dad? I see some people raising their hand. I see Brother Joel raising his hand. You played till he won. I don't care how many games you're going to play till he wins. Maybe that's where I get some of my tenacity, and some of these grand boys get their tenacity from. But you're going to play till he wins. We need to learn with God. The enemy's trying to destroy us, but we need to keep playing, stay in the game till you win. Amen. Don't quit. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 is our basic scripture. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 is our basic scripture that we're using. Find it on your iPhone or your iPad or regular Bible. I see there's some of the people got both. All right. Look like they all got it here on the front row, so now we'll go. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend him, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here, Paul states that he's going to press on. If you read Paul's life, you'll find out that he had a few difficulties. He had a few tough situations that he went through, but he's not quitting. Instead, he is pressing on. You know, he could have quit many times. All you got to do is read about how many times he was beaten and shipwrecked and in prison and all sorts of things. But he kept going. In fact, when he wrote Philippians, he was incarcerated there. And he still wrote, I press on. You know, I think maybe his motto was like mine. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. At least he had the same attitude as I have. I've lived by that my whole life. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. And the reason I do so is because of Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. That's my favorite scripture. In fact, if anybody ever asks for me to sign my name, I don't know what good it is, but I sign it anyway. I always write Luke 18:27 underneath there. You know, I'm not going by what I see in the natural. I'm going by the possibilities that exist with God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to live with the possibilities that exist with God. All things are possible with God. Therefore, we cannot be defeated. I want to encourage you to adopt that attitude of faith today. Now, you know, Galatians 6:9. Turn to Galatians 6:9. I'll wait till everybody turns there. They tell me I go too fast, but I try to slow down, but that's not my style. All right, Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, the NLT says it like this, New Living Translation. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For you will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. See, God has a race for you to run. and you are due to arrive in the winner's bracket, in the winner's circle, if you won't quit. The only thing that can keep you from winning with God is if you quit. God never quits. You quit on Him. Your due season to receive comes after you have fought the good fight of faith. Don't roll up your sleeves. You can't fight naturally. You got to fight with the good fight of faith. See, due season is coming. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this and tell you that you're going to float through life and have no problems, because you're going to face difficulties and you're going to face hardships and you're going to face opposition. But if you will keep your faith in God, in what He said in His Word, you will win. Don't quit. Keep on pressing on. All right? Now, the devil will give you many opportunities to quit. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Because that's what he comes for, to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll send persecution. He'll send affliction. He'll send people across your path that tells you why it can't happen. How many of you have had some, you believe in God for something and you had somebody come up and tell you why it couldn't happen? Yeah. Good people. You see, we need to realize that just because somebody says something doesn't make it so. I don't care if I say it or whoever says it. Paul says, if anybody comes teaching anything except what I have taught, don't pay any attention to it. That's the 2016 language. All right? Man, he'll try to load you down with all the burdens and cares of life. You know, that's one of his best ways to try to get you down. It just loads you down with so much junk. But the Word of God says that you can press on and you don't have to carry the burden. He says, roll the burden over on Him. Let Him carry the burden. Doesn't He say that over in Peter? Doesn't He say that? Give Him all your cares, all your burdens. Let Him carry them. You see, if you accomplish anything, you got to learn to persevere and not quit. You know, my dad used to tell me all the time, he said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. And don't quit. Don't quit. You know, if you quit, you're not going to win anything. If you don't quit, look what you got to gain. You know, hey, did you know that Noah Webster labored 36 years to complete the dictionary? Did you know, how many of you have ever seen a commentary by the name of Adam Clark? Some of you have. Anybody that's, yeah. Adam Clark spent 40 years writing this commentary on the Bible. Did you know that George Bancroft spent 26 years of his life collecting the history of the United States? Hey, these are some guys that they didn't quit. Did you know that Michelangelo's Last Judgment is one of the 12 master paintings of the ages? Took him 8 years to do that one painting. I'm sure he had an opportunity to quit. And then Leonardo da Vinci worked on the Last Supper. You know, that's a famous painting. 10 years. George Stevenson spent 15 years perfecting the locomotive. James Watts worked 30 years on improving the steam engine. C.W. Fields crossed the ocean 50 times to lay cable, the transatlantic cable, so we could call back and forth. Now we got the what do you call it, satellite, you can do it. Thomas Edison, succeeding in developing the electric light after 13 months of repeated failures. I forget how many things he tried during that 13 months. Now, that shows you some people that accomplished because they didn't quit. They didn't quit. See, if you're going to accomplish, you got to stay in the game. You got to stay with it. No matter what comes or what doesn't come, you got to stay with it. You know, in times when it seemed like you can't go any further, how many of you have been there? That's when you have to tap into the reality of the Word of God. That's when you have to tap into Philippians 4:13. I can do. I can do. I can do. I can do all. All things. Through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to notice that there's no qualifications. It doesn't say all spiritual things. It says all things. That includes natural and spiritual. You can accomplish them because of what Christ has done for you. Your strength is in that. Your strength is in the fact that you're in Christ. And I did that teaching not all, a few months back, now a year or so ago, in Christ. In Christ is one of the most vital subjects that you can get a hold of. Who you are in Christ. If you learn who you are in Christ, you cannot be defeated and you will not quit. Now, let's look at a lady in the Bible that refused to quit. Matthew 15, verse number 21. Matthew 15, verse number 21. There's many that we could look at, but I wanted to look at this woman. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent to except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumb which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed that very hour. Now, I want you to notice that she didn't quit asking. She was determined. Right here, "Have mercy on me." He didn't even answer her. I can come in that door over there and have my mind on the service and stuff, and somebody can walk by and I may not say anything to them. Say, "The pastor didn't even speak to me. I think I'll change churches." Well, that happens. Sometimes you got your mind on, especially when any of us ministers are walking in and getting ready for the service, we got our mind on the service, and sometimes you may walk by, but we're oblivious because we are zeroing in on the service. Here, Jesus didn't even answer her. And she didn't get upset. In fact, his disciples said, and I'm sure she heard it, hey, send this old lady away. She's causing a scene, is actually the way we would say it. But she just came up, she just came back. He couldn't get rid of her. He told her, he said, hey, you're not, I can't give you anything. You're not a part of the covenant. You know what? That didn't deter her either. She didn't quit. She asked, she said, Lord, help me. And when he told her that he couldn't give her anything because she wasn't a part of the covenant, that's what did you read that there? She said, yeah. But listen, Jesus, the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. She wouldn't be deterred. Any of you got a dog that comes in the house? They sit around the table when you're eating, just waiting for something to fall, right? And they grab it. Hello? She said to him, yeah, but the dogs, the dogs get the crumbs. And then Jesus said, oh, woman, great is your faith. See, real faith cannot be shut up. Remember blind Bartimaeus on the road? He cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Sort of like this lady here. She said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the good church people around him told him, be quiet, old beggar. Just shut up. Why don't you just sing, come by here, Lord. And if he wants to touch you, he will. But see, he wouldn't quit. He refused to quit. It says he cried more loudly. Now, it says there was a crowd there. The first cry was just a normal shout out. The second cry, his voice rose above everybody else's voice. It rose above everything because it was a desperate cry of faith. And Jesus stopped. See, if you won't quit, if you'll keep holding on in faith, he'll stop. He always stops at the cry of faith. See, he wouldn't quit. This woman wouldn't quit. You know, she was a Gentile. She wasn't part of the covenant. Thank God. We have become adopted in, because in Galatians, Paul talks about, that the blessing of Abraham, that's the covenant that he was talking about. The blessing of Abraham, the covenant of Abraham was redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. That doesn't mean natural death. That means spiritual death. Go study it. He told her, you're not part of it. But because Jesus died on the cross, now it says that we have become the children of Abraham through spiritual children, not natural, spiritual children. So now we are a part of the covenant. But then she wasn't a part of the covenant, but she wouldn't quit. We are a part of the covenant. And I want you to notice back there then, a lot of people that were a part of the covenant, they didn't get anything either because they didn't ask. Faith will ask and faith will receive if you refuse to quit. Now somebody might say, you know, how can I keep from quitting? It's just so tough. I just don't think I can keep going. Well, if you want to win, you got to keep going. You just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I know when I was in the Army training, man, you got that pack on your back, and I had a steel helmet back in that day. That thing's heavy. You had good neck muscles when you got through. And then you got the pack on your back. You got all your deal strapped on with your canteen and your medical stuff and your ammo and everything strapped around your waist. And then you're carrying, back then, I was the last training regiment trained with the M1 rifle. We carrying the M1 rifle, 9 3/4 pounds, 10 1/4 pounds if it had the bayonet fixed on it. And you're out there, you're on a forced march, going to the front lines on a forced march. It gets to where, man, I can't go on. Anybody been there besides me? Oh, I got some help in here. But you tell yourself, hey, I ain't going to quit. And so you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You won't quit. Because the guys that quit, you don't know what's going to happen to them. I don't know what it is today, but I know one thing. Back in that day, you did not want to be a quitter. I guarantee you that. Because the reward for being a quitter was highly dangerous. There's a colonel sitting over there. The quitters is highly dangerous, isn't it, Colonel Moore? Retired colonel right there. Hey, it's dangerous when you quit because the enemy can take advantage of you. But if you keep on going, the reward is great. There may be some trials. There may be some persecution. There may be some trouble. There may be all kinds of things come your way. But I want you to know, if you keep on keeping on and will not quit and keep pressing on, you'll win in the end. Hallelujah. I know you get to the point. We all get to the point. I don't care if you're a preacher or who you are. Everybody gets to the point and you don't think you can go on. But we come back and we need to realize here, number one, you need to realize what Christ did for you at Calvary. That's why you need to know the In Him scriptures. You need to realize that according to 56, 1 Corinthians, thanks be to God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, Paul says, we always triumph in Christ Jesus. Actually, the truth is, Jesus has already obtained the victory. All you have to do is persevere to get to the victory circle. Actually, one guy said this. This is not my statement. I got it from another source. The triumphant Christian does not fight for victory. He celebrates victory already won. I didn't say that. Somebody, it's a good statement, but somebody else said it. The triumphant Christian does not fight for victory, but you celebrate the victory that's already won. Christ has already won victory for you. Amen. Quit fighting and start celebrating. Amen. Go into every situation that comes your way with this in mind. Christ has already obtained the victory. when he died on the cross on Calvary's hill. Secondly, you must know what God has promised in his word to you. If you don't know, you can't take advantage. If you don't know what belongs to you, you can't take advantage of it. In your job, if you don't know the policies and the procedures that belong to you for your benefit. How many of you ever worked on a job or are working a job? Have you ever been given an employee manual? Is there a section in there that says benefits? Huh? Do you realize if you don't read those benefits, you can't take advantage of them? Because the boss is not going to come down there and tell you, say, hey, you're not taking advantage of your benefits. Hello? If you're going to get the benefits, you're going to have to find out what they are. And then you can take advantage of them. If you're going to get the benefits of the promises of God, you got to get into this word right here, find out what they are, then you can take advantage of them. Hello? See, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. Not just a few, but all the promises, everything it says in here is available for us. Have you ever got one of them letters in the mail said, you're pre-qualified? Did you know what? When you become a Christian by accepting salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you were pre-qualified for all the promises of God. You can't do any more to get qualified. You're pre-qualified. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? All right, number three. These are things you need to know so you won't quit. Know that the Holy Spirit is living in you. 1 John 4:4, we all know it. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The greater one. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is there with you. So we need to realize that if we will find out, you know, what Christ had done for us, who we are in Christ, we're the righteousness of God in Christ, we're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things become new. And then know what God has promised us, right? And then realize that the power of God is ours and is available to us. And if we won't quit, we'll make it to the winner's circle. Man, it's fun to get, you know, on the winner's circle or on the podium, you know. You know, and the highest one is the first place. And then you got the others on each side, second and third on each side. Hey, it's fun to be up there on that. How many of you ever been up there in that number one spot? Oh, that's fun to be in that number one spot, isn't it? Man, hey, when you're up there in that number one spot and you're getting a medal around or a medal or whatever, trophy, whatever you're getting, hey, all the hard work you put in, all the sacrifice, all goes out the window. Hello? I mean, you tend to forget about all that. Hey, press on. Don't quit. And then at the end, you can say with Paul, because he didn't quit. Remember we read in there, he said, I press on. But then when he got to the end, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hey, if you won't quit, if you'll keep believing what God said, you can say with Paul, when it's all said and done, hey, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to not quit, but to press on? Amen. How many of you are ready to press on and get all that God said belongs to you? Everything that God said is yours. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up and praise the Lord. I preached long enough. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you have told us that if we will press on, that if we'll keep going, that you will reward us in the end. Father, we right now commit ourselves to the fact that we won't quit, but we will persevere, knowing that the victory is ours. Instead of fighting for victory, we're going to celebrate victory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, did anybody get anything out of this today? Amen. I want to encourage you, keep on pressing on. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I never like to minister unless I give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or for somebody to rededicate their life to God. You know, there's a lot of people that start out with God, but they get to the point, and you might be there where you know you're not exactly where you need to be with God. And then a lot of people go to church, been going to church all their life, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. You can have a no-so experience before you leave here today. Anybody on any one of those invitations, you need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not, so you need a no-so experience with him before you leave here. Let me see your hand. Anywhere in the room, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in the room, I'm going upstairs, downstairs. I'm going to look for just a moment. If you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life. You've been going to church all your life, but you don't know if you've ever accepted Christ or not. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Anybody else want to raise your hand with this one? Anybody else? Anywhere? We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible said, not according to what some doctrine says, but what the Bible says. The Bible said they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit here this morning? Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere, in the room? Hey, I'm going down front. I know that one or two hands was raised. I'm going down front. If you raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, should have raised your hand, I want you to step out now and meet me right down here. I want to pray with you and for you, just like I said. So come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. God bless you, man. Come on right now. There were some others, so come on. If you don't want to walk by yourself, somebody will walk down here with you. Just ask them.
Jesus is waiting.
Bless you. Bless you guys. Come on. Come on.
So come.
You've raised your hand. Should have raised your hand. Wanted to raise your hand, but didn't. Come on down here anyway. Come on right now. If you're in the upstairs, the ushers will help you get down these stairs. Come on. Right now. Come on, right now.
It really doesn't matter.
God bless you. Stand right there. Come on. I'm waiting. Come on.
Jesus, he's
come on. There you go. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else going to come? Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to
Jesus.
Glory to God. Hey, guys. I got 3 books in my hand. New Birth in Him. Talking about in Christ. I was talking about. And then White Tongues. Oh, here comes somebody else. Praise the Lord. Bless you, man. Bless you. I got these 3 books, New Birth in Him, White Tongues, about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give them to you, I put them out here like this. What do you got to do to get them? They're yours. Now, all the rest of y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. Y'all going to get them same books. That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you a book just like I did there. But I can't give you the spiritual thing that you come to get. It comes from heaven on high. And just as he reached out with his hand, I want you to reach up with one hand toward heaven. And with that hand, you're saying, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Congregation, reach your hands toward him and pray as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience, blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go to a special place. We call it a prayer room this morning where you can get them books. And there's going to be people there to pray with you, make sure you get what you came for. Now, that room is a prayer room now, but next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, what in the world is Turning Point? It's just a few classes to help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God. That's all it is. And I'd like to see you in there next Sunday morning. We see Greg over there. Would you just follow him to that place of prayer where you can get them books and be prayed with? So just come on. Yeah, bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got anything you want to sing today?
Absolutely.
All right, let's sing.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We'll sing that again. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining and every day. Oh, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
How many of y'all ever sung that song before? I know all the badness that the Pentecostals have. I know that. We're going to sing that one more time. Pressing on. Pressing on the upward way. Come on, let's
pressing
sing.
Pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. On higher ground.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that's our prayer, oh God.
We're going to keep pressing on. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. It said you walk through the valley. You don't set up camp. You walk through the valley. On the other side of the valley is the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hey, remember all the announcements we need. Don't forget the candy. If you want to sign up to help with the Harvest Carnival, go out there in the East Lobby. Other stuff out there. Hey, men, you can go sign up for the men's conference in the North Lobby. Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be right here. Hey, y'all pray for us. We're going to be tonight. Hey, anybody down there watching, we're going to be in Dothan, Alabama tonight. And Monday night and Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, we're going over to Decatur, Alabama. We're going to be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Pray for the team, myself and Lynette and the team as we're out there ministering. But y'all be here, okay? I don't know whether usually if we put it if they stream it, we sort of let people know, and we try to let people know where you can see it. All right, praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements. Hey, I want to thank all of you that brought in food for the Weed Care Center last week. We had a good turnout, Brother Bill. Is that correct? We was able to feed some more people. All right. Hey, but hey, just don't wait till we have a special drive. Just every time you come to church, bring something. The list is there. Bring something, because we're feeding a lot of people. We're helping a lot of people that are in need. And so, you know, and not only do we give them food, but we also talk to them about Jesus. And it's a whole lot easier for somebody to listen to you talk to them about Jesus if you give them some food for their stomach, all right? How many of them know what I'm talking about? So let's keep that up. Praise the Lord. All right, we sing. Yeah, first-time guest. Where's my connection team? Find my first-time guest, y'all. Take them to get that special gift, okay? Take them to get that special gift. We're so glad that you're here with us. Like I said, if you're looking for a church home, welcome home. You're right here. You found it, right? Amen. Hey, we sing a chorus around here to dismiss. I got to get down that aisle right there to shake hands. You can see where all the other of the pastors are, where they're going. We got four lobbies here. We try to rotate around so we can see all of you. Okay. You people in the balcony, sometimes you need to come by my door, because if you go down the stairs and out that outside door, I don't ever get to see you. And I asked some people the other day, I said, have you been coming to church? Oh, yeah, we sat in the balcony. Well, you don't ever come by my door. Hey, if you're a church member, at least come by my door. At least once a month anyway, please. Okay. All right. Let's sing the chorus, and then Rich will dismiss you.
Oh, my God, a mighty warrior, you're a consumer.